From the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
You look at San Francisco, they don't need mask ordinances indoors anymore, and certainly not outside.
Now at 6, the former head of the FDA makes an example of San Francisco, but are people actually ready to follow his advice?
I think I just want to continue to support the message that this is something that is makes us safer, you know.
Yeah, it feels really good not wearing a mask.
And that red flag warning just extended by another day. And if you're not ready now, consider it an early season wake-up call.
There's very little that a homeowner can do on a red flag day that's going to make any difference. There's some things you can do before the red flag day.
I have mowed more this year than any other time just because we're trying to keep it really low.
And we're going to get into the specifics on the extension of the red flag warning. And then we're also going to look at what's driving this. Why are we doing this in early May? That's coming right up.
What we're trying to do with this monument, Monumental Reckoning, is to create equity in art in a park that is for everyone.
And a former KPIX anchor has been chosen to make a monumental change to Golden Gate Park. Good evening. I'm Juliette Goodrich.
And I'm Brian Hackney. We begin on the Fire Watch, a live look at the bone-dry Berrienos Hills in Contra Costa County, where a red flag warning will be in effect for another 48 hours. The red flag warning extended earlier today.
And we have team coverage on the conditions and how people are preparing. Let's start with meteorologist Darren Peck. Darren.
Juliette, I'm going to use those hills that we just showed over at Berrienos Park in the East Bay Hills. It's brown out here. You can see a little patch of green, but for the most part, it's very brown. And the measurement that was just taken out here for just how flammable the landscape is out here set a record. So if we take a look at something called the energy release component that says how much energy these grasses, trees, and twigs would be able to release if a fire were to get started, we're going to track that over the course of a year just to show you what the average would be. It makes perfect sense. By the time you get to September and October, you're at the peak. That's what we used to think of as the typical fire season. If we look at what the records are, you'll see the red line that goes up much higher than that. But what's most important is to take a look at where we are. See the white wavy line? That's this year, and it's all over the place because you get a little bit of rain, the energy release component goes down. You dry out, it goes up. Look what it just did right here. The white line goes above the record. In other words, we are right now at the driest, or the potential for the most energy release from the grasses, twigs, and trees in the East Bay Hills that we've ever recorded, and these records go back 30 years. But it's not just that we're above the records. Take that line and draw it out to what would traditionally be the peak for fire season, and we're already there. In early May, we've already reached what would have been typical for September and going into October. So that's what's driving this. We've extended the red flag warning, the National Weather Service has, and that now goes until Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock. North Bay Hills are included in this. Don't want to leave that out. And here are our East Bay Hills. Berrienos sits right about there. I'll be back with the rest on the complete forecast coming up in just a few minutes. For now, Brian, over to you.
Firefighters monitoring the North Bay Hills closely. It's one area that gets scorched almost every summer. And KPIX5's Don Lynn is in Napa, where homeowners who know the danger well are getting ready again.
Firefighters say the weather alone probably would not cause this kind of concern, but you add the drought and the dry vegetation, the fire conditions become extremely dangerous. The hills just above the Silverado Country Club in Napa are starting to turn yellow, and that's worrying some neighbors because it's a couple of months early.
No fires outside, you know, because the fire, when it starts, goes in almost a circle, so you think you can put it out, but you can't.
Linda and Dave Carroll rebuilt their home after the 2017 Atlas Fire wiped it out. But many lots in the neighborhood are still vacant.
It's hard because our neighbors haven't come back, and the neighbor across the street bought something else, and she's not sure what she's going to do with this lot.
They say their new house makes the fire season a little less stressful. It's got a metal roof and a desert-like garden with very little vegetation around.
So we're kind of sitting in the middle of a fireproof area. But, I mean, we're always concerned.
I've never seen it this hot this early, so we're scared.
In neighboring Sonoma, Kim and her husband, Alan Bruni, spent the early morning hours of Mother's Day creating a defensible space. The 2017 fires burned close to their home.
The sun heats through the black side of the tarp, and it kills all the vegetation below it. And so you can see now we've cleared out all of this area around the shed.
Traditionally, May is when homeowners manage the vegetation around their property, but the red flag warning signals the fire season is well underway.
I do worry a lot about that, just because there's just going to be too many opportunities. If it's already this dry, it's just going to get drier throughout the rest of the year.
Linda and Dave say they won't live in fear, since their house is designed to better withstand a fire.
Does it panic us? No.
I would say the main thing we're interested in is the wind, because the wind drove the fire before.
Firefighters say Alan did the right thing by using a mower and a weed whacker early in the morning. Don't do it in the afternoon. It's too hot, and you can spark a fire easily. In Napa, I'm Da Lin, KPIX 5.
The drought, of course, one of the big drivers of fire danger, and we're tracking both on KPIX.com. You can even look up current conditions by zip code.
New at 6, is it finally time to unmask? Mixed reaction today after the former head of the FDA said some cities, especially San Francisco, should ease up on the rules. KPIX 5's John Ramos asked people across the Bay Area if they agree.
To mask or not to mask?
That's a question a lot of people are asking themselves these days, as wearing a face covering becomes more of a choice than a mandate. The streets of Danville are bustling again as people turn out for Mother's Day brunch. But this morning on Face the Nation, they got some food for thought from former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb.
You look at San Francisco, 20 cases a day, more than 70% of the population vaccinated, very good testing in place. They don't need mask ordinances indoors anymore, and certainly not outside.
The CDC has already okayed losing the mask when outdoors in small groups. But now there are questions if they're even necessary indoors, especially in San Francisco, which seems to be on the verge of achieving herd immunity.
What does that mean for people in the community?
It means that hopefully we'll be the city that keeps on easing our restrictions. Come to San Francisco. Let's go to an inside restaurant. So it really is a very safe city for COVID-19.
But just because things are improving doesn't mean everyone is willing to breathe free again.
Yeah, I think I just want to continue to support the message that this is something that is makes us safer, you know.
There was a range of opinion in the Garibaldi family. Dominic never liked masks and is happy that they're now becoming a matter of choice.
It feels way better, like going in a restaurant and no one's like looking at you, like put the mask on like it's a crime or anything like that. But yeah, it feels really good not wearing a mask.
But his mother, Sylvia, is more cautious. She began wearing a mask even before COVID hit.
When do you think you'll be comfortable taking it off?
Well, when things calm a little bit more, when I know that the virus is completely gone.
Brittany Lee already had a bout with COVID and doesn't want the vaccine. So she takes precautions to protect her family, even though they've already gotten their shots.
So for me, I feel like because it is my choice to not get the vaccination, that I do need to make sure that I wear a mask and wash my hands and do that stuff, you know, and try to protect others.
Health officials talked us into wearing masks. Now they have to convince us it's safe to take them off. They've become a source of comfort for many, a thin veil of protection against a world that still feels pretty scary at times. In Danville, John Ramos, KPIX 5.
An example of how far California has come. In January, Los Angeles averaged 16,000 new cases per day. Last Wednesday, they had fewer than 300, a drop of 98%. We know it's hard to keep track of the do's and don'ts these days, especially when they vary by county. So you can find everything you need to know on our vaccine resource page at KPIX.com, including a list of activities that are safe to resume once you're fully vaccinated.
Santa Clara County's got a new game plan to bring the crowds back to its vaccine mega site at Levi's Stadium. It is hosting youth nights this Tuesday through Thursday. They're open to Santa Clara County students aged 16 to 19 and their families. And along with the shot, they'll get a Levi's locker room tour, free 49ers swag, and selfie opportunities. The first 100 teens vaccinated each night also get $10 gift cards. At the same time, Marin says it's ready to vaccinate kids as young as 12 as soon as a vaccine is authorized for that age group. Feds could give Pfizer the nod as early as Wednesday. And overall, California's given out more than 32 million vaccine doses so far. More than 14 million have been fully vaccinated, and another 5 million are halfway there.
Well, just into the newsroom, San Francisco high school seniors may be able to close out the year on campus. The teachers union telling us they reached an agreement with the district on Friday, allowing 12th grade students to return to in-person learning starting Friday, May 14th. But the return will be brief. The last day of classes for the school district is June 2nd. Graduation ceremonies take place between the 1st and the 3rd. Now, the district is now conducting a survey of 12th graders to see just how many want to return for the final weeks. Well, a former KPIX 5 anchor and artist, Dana King, will unveil a major art installation in Golden Gate Park next month.
It'll be a centerpiece of the annual Juneteenth celebration called Monumental Reckoning. It'll be installed in the area where the statue of Francis Scott Key once stood until it was toppled by protesters last year. Key wrote the Star-Spangled Banner, was a slaveholder, and his writings disparaged African Americans as inferior. King says that her sculpture is a response to Key's legacy of racism. The art, she says, instead honors the first slaves brought to the United States in 1619.
It represents the beginning of the system of slavery, the business of slavery, chattel slavery. And so we wanted to honor the original Africans who were enslaved on that ship and bound for Virginia.
Dana tells us it took some time to get approval for the installation. There is still a lot of work to do. Her team will be creating the 350 figures over the next 5 weeks. She also has a GoFundMe page if you would like to contribute to the project. New video shows a lot of vendors lining San Francisco's Pier 39, and the majority of these tents are illegal. That's according to the associate director of the pier. A Sky Drone 5 flew over the tourist hotspot this weekend. The pier's associate director says the number of vendors who are coming in to sell stuff without a permit is at an all-time high, and street vendors who have been selling here for years legally are fed up.
They're blocking up all the streets off, and they don't let people pass by. You can't even walk through there. Look, I mean, it's not cool. They're bumping into stuff. Little kids are getting hurt, and I'm not cool with that.
We are waiting to hear back from the city to see if it's gotten any formal complaints or if it's working on any solutions.
Some police in Fairfield spent this Mother's Day on the flower delivery beat. Turns out the original delivery driver was involved in a crash and then arrested for DUI. So, with nobody to get the flowers to the intended moms, officers stepped in to save the day. A lot of people missed out on Mother's Day last year, though, and they couldn't see their mothers for months.
But they made up for it today. Bay Area restaurants were bustling for brunch. In fact, Millie's Kitchen in Lafayette was packed with families enjoying a very warm, sunny Mother's Day. One mom told KPIX the aftermath of last year is making her reflect on how lucky she is to enjoy this time with her children.
I think a lot of people lost their mothers in the last year. So for me, it's it's a big deal to be out here celebrating, having children, being alive. So I've been reflecting in that way.
And some families spent time at Ruth Bancroft Garden in Walnut Creek. People picked up special bouquets of unique flowers for their moms and handmade chocolates. One mom is 98-year-old Joan. And this is what Mother's Day 2021 felt like for her.
Absolutely fabulous. I'm very, very fortunate. I have my family. They're all well. So that's the main thing.
Happy Mother's Day!
Finally, the mystery is over. All eyes were on the sky waiting for pieces of a Chinese rocket to come crashing down.
Oh, it did come crashing down, but thankfully it was not on top of anyone or anything. Chinese media reports that remnants of the 20-ton rocket rained down on the Indian Ocean last night, most of it burning up on reentry anyway into the Earth's atmosphere near the Maldives. Here's some new video that was posted on social media from Saudi Arabia. A lot of people reported seeing some of the debris flying through the early dawn skies over the Middle East. China lost control of the rocket after it blasted off and put the first piece of a future space station into orbit last month.
Meanwhile, SpaceX is keeping tabs on its Falcon 9 rocket. It launched from Cape Canaveral early this morning, carrying a new batch of 60 Starlink broadband satellites. Those are the low-orbiting arrays that people have been seeing flying overhead lately. And shortly after takeoff, part of the Falcon 9 rocket dropped off as planned and landed on a docking ship. And this is SpaceX's 10th successful. We want to thank you so much for watching. 60 Minutes is coming up next.
We'll see you back here at 11. Until then, the news continues on KPIX.com. But for now, have a pleasant Sunday evening. We'll see you at 11.
Good night.